And it's welcome to another Today's Going to Be 94.1 Sports Podcast. RJ here with a croaky voice and
Dale K. Checkleton with my normal voice.
No, it's never normal. And our special guest is former Australian netballer Alison Broadbent. Great to have you in the studio to talk about your life and welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, and we're going to find out all about you. This could be a scary thing there. You know,
I've got to remember.
Right, that's okay.
Well, Alison, let's go back to growing up at Erina with mum and dad and your sister Megsy, and your first initiation into sport, but especially the sport of netball.
Yeah, well, look, it's funny, and it's a bloody long time ago, but my dad was writing to AFL, and we used to go and watch him play, and I think mum played netball locally, and it's just something that we did, and to be honest, it wasn't that many sports around to play for girls. Like, you didn't have all the variety that you've got now, and netball was just a given, I think, and we just started playing, and we played on a Saturday. It was unreal.
Now, just fast forward to now, if you had the opportunity to play sport, would you have done netball or AFL or soccer or cricket? You know, these sports are going ballistic.
I'm terrible at soccer. Let's put that out there now. I can't kick a ball to save myself. But having said that, I probably would have given AFL a go.
Mm-hmm.
I do love the game, and I love netball just as much, but a lot of the correlation between AFL and netball, and because Dad played, I think I would have had a crack at it.
Okay.
My daughter's been playing it, so she
has good. Okay.
Well, Ali, growing up, did you have sporting heroes? Dad must have the AFL on the TV all the time. Were you sporting heroes in netball, or were they AFL or football?
I think it was a bit harder when I was younger, and looking at it now, I think the opportunities that the girls have got now is just fantastic because they can see people, but when I was 10, 11, 12, whatever, TVA was only for sometimes. It wasn't for all the time. We were outdoors riding our bikes and doing whatever, but you didn't see the women's sport on TV or anything like that. So it was harder, I guess, to have idols in vision or around, but it wasn't until I got a bit older in late teens that I started to realise, oh, hey, there's some people, and I used to get really chuffed when the Australian team, but they just weren't on TV as much as they are now.
All right, an early junior club was Davistown, which is a little small little hamlet, of course, and you were playing with them, the Davistown Apaches?
Davistown Apaches, yes. I know, we're little Indians, and with our checkered skirt and our really tight white shirt, and it was just delightful. And it was really funny how I got to play with them. You know what I remember, and people ask me now about that. Don't even realise I played for Davistown now, really. But I remember going, all I remember is Davistown RSL when it was, before it was new, going there for presentations and eating whatever I wanted and having, you know, a soft drink. So that's what I remember of my netball days.
Food and drink.
Yeah, I know. Okay, there's correlation there. Yeah,
but netball on the Central Coast, Ali, Adcock Park on a Saturday morning, it's etched in sporting history, isn't it? Tell us your memories as a youngster going there and every court covered, the hooter going off everywhere and being a part of all that.
Oh, I loved it. I love it. It was my Saturdays, and it's become my Saturdays now. But it's my Saturdays are just my memories there are the Red Frog lolly bags and the going. We didn't really have anything else, but we just hung there all day. Mum played, my sister played. It was just like a thing we did. So it was good.
Yeah. When did someone notice you as having some ability as a netballer? Who was the person that said, I think you can go okay and we're going to mentor you or train you? Someone?
Well, I had a coach called Jan Baden, who was my coach with Davistown originally, and she was pretty hard on me. And I had her, and she, because of my height, and I'm now classified as small, but back then I was quite tall, I was goalkeeper, not much else, and she made me play there, and I remember hating it, but she was pretty hard on me, but I think it was probably the biggest person that's had the most influence in my career is probably my mum and dad, in terms of just having that drive, and dad's particularly very adamant that if you start a team, you finish the team and everything for the team, and we're very much driven in that way and I'm a big team player, so I think whatever sport I would have done, it would have been a team sport.
Yep.
But then Jan was obviously a catalyst in that, and then moving on down the track, you start, it's a bit different now, but back then it was this, the rep level stuff, we used to go down to state age, it was still called state age, and I suppose I got noticed there a little bit playing down in Sydney, and then got asked to go down to Sydney, so it was kind of just from there.
Alison, as you mentioned, always put in goalkeeper, we know his goal defence, and wing defence as well. Have you ever looked back in your career and thought, oh, I wish I played further up the court, got an opportunity to play up there as well?
I'm not a shooter. Let's just put that out there. I'm terrible. And I now have two shooters in my family. But, yeah, so being a defender, I probably just a little bit more reactive. I had good reaction skills. I think it was probably a good level for me. I'm good at picking up on my feet. I have... what else have I got going for me? Probably not. I'd be too short now.
That's
I'd be really too short now.
Yeah, for did the you circle. Say that?
Yeah, so I'd probably find myself with defence centre if I was playing now. But yeah, so back then, goalkeeper, when Lizzie came to play, I got pushed out to goal defence and then I slowly got too short and got to wing defence.
So you're saying that now the modern day netballer is taller, bigger, stronger, more physical.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think... We were at the start of being really athletic and driven, and I suppose and I hate saying it, but we led the way on so many levels in terms of where the girls are now. The Players Association, all those things started when I was playing.
Yeah.
And we were just a bit before our time, but the level of which we had to play at was what the girls are doing now, the best part of what the girls are doing now in terms of the Australian team and those teams in that league are really, they've got some time in their diaries and their life to have a balanced life. We were working full-time or studying full-time, working part-time. Like we had, so there's a bit more cash there that helps them be a professional, semi-professional netballer, so it helps. Yeah.
Ali, noticing you had the ability to go on in the game of netball, you had to leave Gosford and go to Mount Coringai. Tell us what that was like and the being selected in the New South Wales under 17s at only 16, what that feeling was like as well.
I have visions of my dad giving me the thumbs up every time I turn around at selections. They're not allowed to speak to you, and it's hectic. I think it's you're a little kid in a big sea of kids, and there's a lot of kids that play in Sydney. And even back then, there was a lot of you still had the Manlys, the Coringai, the Sutherland, the Randwick associations, and there's a lot of kids there, still is. And so we went, and it was a tiring weekend. It's just sort of so. I think from a school level. I got selected at a CHS level at under 16s, and then from that, I suppose I was noticed in that sense, and then making the under 17s. But we had a terrible national tournament. That's what I remember. We went away to Alice Springs and came fifth, and New South Wales never came fifth in the under 17s national league, and I was pretty much, there was Reagan Jackson or Reagan Gilmore at the time, who I used to travel down. She's in Newcastle, and basically we were the last two remaining kids from that team that made the state team the year after. That's how it was. They were ruthless.
I was going to ask you.
Sounds like it.
Yes. Oh yeah, New South Wales in the pretty blue and the swishy pants. They didn't really appreciate the coming fifth.
You must have said some nice things for the coach to keep you there.
Sucking up good then, obviously. Oh, well, that's good.
Did you find, were you surprised by the intensity or going from local, you know, and now you're state under 17, under 19s, the ruthlessness you mentioned and the intensity?
Yeah, definitely. One of the best things that ever happened to me was just landing on my feet a little bit in terms of getting Julie Fitzgerald as my Coringai coach. Mm-hmm. Julie, as you know, is the Giants coach now and does a lot with Australian netball. And I think that was more fluky than good management on my part. And it happened to be that she was at the nearest association in Sydney that was close to us, that had a team that I could go to.
Yep.
I also at the time had an opportunity to go to Randwick, and the reason we chose Coringai was just travel.
Yeah.
So I think in that sense, Julie's done a lot for me. And at that time, when I was 17, getting in a team that had Katrina Wagg, Marianne McCormick, there was a whole heap of ladies there, or girls they were, that were at that level of Australian level. So I was just in awe of that. And it was a hard lesson. It wasn't pretty, and I made some, you know, mistakes along the way, but hey, who doesn't? And it just, but if I think that drive, I was never the best netballer. I will say that to any kid or any person. I had some talent, but the main thing was the drive that I had to do better.
Yeah.
Well, Ali, that drive must have had some talent with it too, because as you mentioned, the New South Wales selectors were ruthless. But the next year, you made the under-19 and under-21 team for New South Wales too, as a 17-year-old then.
Yeah. So, and I suppose more surprise than anything. And hard work. I think, it's just one of those things that I'm not good at not doing things well. I think that can be perfectionist is a curse. Perfectionism is a curse. But it is also what drives sports people and not just sports people, but anyone at a high level to do more and do better. So I think that it served me well and getting where I was. So it was great.
Tell us about when you were named in the Australian under 21. Where were you at that time and who were you with when your name is read out or someone's phoned you know?
It's really weird. They used to be a lot harder. Like you used to have a training selection and you used to go into a room all together and they announce a team from a sheet of paper.
Right.
Now they don't do that anymore because it's not politically correct and we don't want to upset people and we don't want to do all that sort of stuff. So back in the day, it was a little tougher and we were able to take the hits. But and you're sitting in a room where there's girls crying and upset and then you're going, and I think that teaches you, you're talking before about being humble, like it's kind of like you don't go jumping around like a lunatic and say yay for me. I think it was more just being really respectful to the people that tried out
and missed out.
And also the ones that, okay, well, this is exciting, but let's just keep a lid on it because we need to do our thing. So I was in Sydney. They were always in Sydney until they started to go to the AIS and I was down in Canberra for those. Mm.
Ali, you're making the move from the hard courts all the time to playing indoor. The difference in playing on the two different surfaces, do you think it's much better for the body?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's funny. Yeah, it is. It's amazing the difference in playing indoors and to outdoor netball. And I know after I had the kids, I came back and played a couple of seasons down at Gosford. Holy dooly, my body was not equipped to take the hits and the asphalt and the heat. There is bounce and the floors are better now too. When the indoor floors were first coming about, they were not as springy as they are now, but you can bounce a little bit off the floor and it helps you, I suppose it helps your longevity. Mm. It didn't help with my knee, obviously, but it was more about the longevity in the sport and the less injuries and impact. But yeah, it's good.
All right, you scale the heights in 2001, you make the Australian team. This is the Holy Grail for you and anyone else that was in there, wasn't there? Tell us about that moment, you know. You were laughing when you were selected.
Actually surprising. Yeah. I'd gone through, we haven't mentioned them yet, but I'd had a couple of serious knee injuries when I was 17 and 19 and was out for seasons. And I think after my second knee injury, I really just focused on enjoyment. I'd put too much pressure on myself and I still remember, you know, I can't remember who it was specifically, but someone was telling me it's just about, and it was actually an Australian player, might have been Keely Devery, but she was basically saying, Ali, you just need to play the game like it's your last. Mm. And I think I'd forgotten that somewhere when you're hell-bent on making teams and doing things, you're so driven to get something, it makes it seem hard work and it becomes a bit of a chore. So I really focused on just why I played netball and what I loved about it and really focused on that. And so when I just recently got married, and the biggest debate I had in my head was, oh no, I've just changed my name to Broadbent. I should have had an Australian uniform with Williams on it. And I thought, and that was the first thing that came to my head. And I thought, oh, my dad's going to be heartbroken, but he wasn't, he didn't care. But I think I got back from our honeymoon and made the Australian team. So surprise to me. But I think it was more just I'd worked hard, but I was relaxed and okay with the outcome, so which made it just so much better for me.
Yeah.
Ali, I think that's great advice for all people, is enjoy the journey. You know, don't...
It's an old saying, but it works a treat, and I think sometimes now if you make it seem like hard work and you're not loving what you're doing, you're never going to make it. Exactly. Because it's just not, I don't want to be hard world, but that's just there's so many kids out there, and if you love it, you're going to work harder, but you're also going to play your best because you're not stressing about it. So.
Yeah. But we talk about bouncing back. You'd had those two knee reconstructions and the Sydney Swifts. You make the Sydney Swifts, something that was part of your life for 10 years, 152 times you represented them. Great success, great teammates, and as we said, achieved plenty of success with those girls as well.
Yeah, and I think I know that with the Sydney Swifts, everyone sees the back end of our the career that we had together as a unit at the end. But when we first... we were used to coming third. We used to call ourselves the funniest team, the funniest and the prettiest team. And there was one time that we all decided that we do cartwheels onto the court. I don't even know if that would be allowed right now, but I think at the time there wasn't many spectators. So, but I think that seems a bit lame right now, but we thought we were great. But we never really quite had the belief until, I can't remember, what year was it? Was it 2001?
That'll do.
Was it 2001? 2001, I think we won our first, up until that stage, we'd never made the grand final. Was that right?
Well, I've got you down as winning it in 2004.
Yeah, we won before that.
Okay.
Yeah, we won one before. We won 2001, I'm pretty sure, was our first one. And we smashed Adelaide Thunderbirds by about 25 goals. Mm.
You can put in as many as you like. You can win every year. It doesn't matter.
25 goals sounds good.
That's right.
If my dad listens to this, which he will, he'll probably correct me on everything I'm saying right now.
Mr. Williams, we're on your side.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. That's right. Just believe me, Dad. Believe me. But I know, well, the 2004, we won one before, so it was 2001, I'm pretty sure. And then 2004 was the year that Lizzie was commentating. I know, at the Athens Commonwealth Games, Athens Olympic Games.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
And she was doing that. Honest, she came back and played that game. We played with half Liz that day, but we still won. And we came down. My dad had left the stadium. I didn't know this, of course, because we had a very big crowd. And we were 6 goals down. And I actually play this probably the best final that I've ever played, personally. And it was just one of those moments where, and my dad was watching it in the, what's the stadium called? It was Acer Arena. And so he was watching out there, and we started to come back. And he thought, and we're in the last quarter, and he goes, "Oh shit, I better come back in." and then we won. So there you go. So and we won. And it was Melbourne Phoenix.
Yep.
And we beat the Melbourne Phoenix, and I remember my dad still watches that game and replays it, and I'm pretty sure that's the only game. Actually, I don't think the girls have really watched a game of me playing, my daughters, but I'm pretty sure they might have seen a quarter or two of that one and gone, "Oh yeah, there's mummy," or whatever.
They get so blasé.
What
about internationally? The great rivals has been New Zealand, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so tell us about some of the clashes, the physicality, playing against New Zealand.
Yeah, look, it was kind of interesting because of Irene and her, Irene Van Dyke, and she's lovely, by the way, but she's very tall. So I was always deemed too small to play with Liz in the circle at an international level. Even though we were in the team together, we never really played together. But we did play a few tests together, and she was always on the court, of course. I have to take that up with Liz, but I was always out on the wing, maybe. But the clashes were always really hard and a lot of heart. I remember playing a game in Invercargill, and I actually didn't get on the court, but I was I'm glad I didn't, because they're ruthless down there in Invercargill, which is at the bottom of New Zealand somewhere. And honestly, it was, my mum and dad were there because that was the first tour of New Zealand that I'd had. And Paul was there as well, I'm pretty sure, my husband. And we'd played 3 games, and it was just one of those things that was out of control and always hard fought and a lot of passion, but very respectful, really respectful of each other and teammates. So it was good.
Ali, you know, especially now as a coach, the importance of combinations on the court. You've mentioned Liz Ellis a few times far in the podcast. Combination-wise, was she your favourite player to play with, knowing you knew where Liz would be, Liz would know where you'd be, or was there others as well?
Lizzie would be my favourite. We played a long time together. And I think it's, I know that Julie still uses video clips of Liz and I playing together. I think the beauty, I was okay with where I sat in the team in terms of Liz was Liz Ellis and I love her and she's amazing. And I was Ali and I was amazing at what I did. But I was also a good complement to Liz because basically the front end of the court makes a goalkeeper look good. That's pretty much how I'm going to roll with it. but if we Reagan was a wing defence. Selena Gilson and later Hornibrook. We were the hard workers. And Julie, that's how Julie used to play her games all the time. Because particularly in those days, and a little bit now, but more so than you generally had. Most teams had a tall shooter, and a shorter front line, so meaning goal attack and wing attack. So if we put pressure out the front, they're either going to pass bad, make it really hard for them, they'd have to work really hard. For my job was always to make the goal attack puffing before they got into the circle, so then if they had to even shoot, they were puffed out before then. And so I think there was a whole heap of things that we were very good together because we knew what our jobs were, and we knew what value added to the team in terms of that. So I think you can't be an individual player in a team sport. You just can't. Mm. And you can be, and there've been some kids and even recent, like people that go through and they go, why is it? But they're an individual. They're actually, you've got to give it all to your team. So if your coach says you've got to do it this way, then you do that.
Yeah.
And I was very good at taking instructions, and Lizzie's the same. So she knew what her job is, but I always say we made her look good because she got the specky intercepts out the back.
All right, the two teams you most like defeating, Melbourne Phoenix, Adelaide Thunderbirds. Yeah. Why those two? I mean, you beat them in grand finals.
Not very nice. Girl. So. Well, Eloise Southby-Halbish is one of my closest friends, and we have been since we've been in the Aussie team together. And she's from Melbourne Phoenix, and it's just one of those things that was always a dogged kind of affair. Mm. And on the court, we were ruthless against each other. She broke my thumb once, that's what I'm going to say. on her jaw.
What did you do to her?
I'm not pretty sure. I got my thumb caught on her jaw and snapped my thumb back. But anyway, that's
how was the jaw?
I blamed her. I don't think it was my fault at all.
No, of course not. No. The jaw, the thumb's attached to the hand, yeah. That's the thing.
And Adelaide, well, Adelaide just aren't very nice, but no, they are. They're all right. But it was just one of those things. We didn't beat them for a long time, and then we started to. And in 2006, I don't know if you've got that down there as a question, but we played. Not many teams get to play a perfect season, and as the Swifts go, we played a perfect season of netball and not lost a game. So and within that. Those teams, Melbourne and Adelaide, were always really respectful of the ability that we had. So it was vice versa. So it was good.
Ali, is there play? You would talk about the fierce rival when you're playing against, but were there particular girls when you're playing against them you didn't like that much? But when you played with them in the Australian team, you thought, wow, not only are you a good player, you're a good person as well.
I don't know. That's a hard question. Jeez, you should have given me some homework on that one. I don't really. There's probably some players that I wasn't super friendly with, but that's not. You're in a team, so I didn't really think about it too much. I was always in awe of what everyone was doing and making sure that I was doing my job. That I suppose one of the girls that spring to mind that was Jackie Delaney. Jackie played for Adelaide, and I don't know what her married name is now, but she was always really hard for me to play. She just was so confident and airy and had this ability to look like she knew it all, but deep down she didn't really. So it's probably she's probably one that I thought, oh, she's actually really lovely. But when we played, geez, it was hard. And then the other one was Sherelle. But Sherelle was, I suppose we were sort of friendly before we played, but Sherelle and I always had a really hard-fought game. She was always goal attack, I was always goal defence, and some days I was the probably the best player and some days she was. So it's just one of those things that makes some really fierce rivals on the court, but you can be friends off, so it's good.
That was Sherelle McMahon?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Now I know that you've mentioned down here one of the most admired sports person, Steve Waugh.
When did I mention that?
Well, this is on record.
Oh, sorry, Steve. It is illegal.
This is him. Don't look at me.
Jeez Louise. Yeah, maybe at the time. Yeah, he's awesome.
Okay.
I was thinking more Michael Jordan.
He'll do. Throw him in. It's okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, Steve Waugh. Because I'm telling you.
This is a test.
Ali, looking back, but you're inducted into the Netball New South Wales Hall of Fame. Where does that sit with you as far as being, you know, chuffed about and being able to achieve that? There's been so many great players, but to sit alongside them and probably some that haven't been inducted, how does that make you feel on the proud scale?
Yeah, really. Actually, it happened all really quickly. I got inducted to the Hall of Champions as well, and I couldn't be there for that ceremony because we were, Paul and I and the kids were travelling, and my mum and dad went, and I can tell you now that the photo tells 1,000 stories because and 1,000 words because they just were so proud.
Yeah.
And I suppose it didn't really sink in until I went to Kath Coxey's induction into the Hall of Champions at so the Hall of Champions is at Netball headquarters, but it's also a all in sport inclusive. I don't even know what it's called now, but yeah. So she got inducted last year, and your photo's on the wall in the sports stadium.
Mm.
And but there was over 700 people at this event. Wow. That Coxey was at, and I thought, oh, wow, this is pretty impressive, and this is what I missed out on for one thing.
You blame Paul?
Yeah, no. But I think until that's... There's all these different sports people that were there that were just, you know, different sports, different ages, different things that they'd achieved, and I thought, oh, wow, that's pretty impressive that I made it onto the wall. And then after that, I got inducted into the Netball New South Wales Hall of Fame. And it sort of just all happened in a bit of a blur, and yeah, it was nice. It was really lovely to be recognised in that way, and I think as a sports person, I am pretty humble, and I don't really go talking about most sports people that have achieved, I suppose, at my level, probably don't go around saying, hey, I'm Ali Broadbent, I play netball for Australia.
Yep.
'Cause that's not who we are and what we do, and I think our actions speak louder than our words, and but it is really nice to be recognised in that way. One of the things that's come about since I've had girls that play netball, and I think it could be a correlation to any of the local sports and grassroots level, is when you're playing at the level I played at, you're in a bubble of yourself. Because you are self-driven, you're self-motivated, you have a job to do, you train, you eat, you sleep, you work if you have to, but you literally, all you do, don't talk to me anything but netball. And I think you become a harder person around that. And sometimes it's hard for people to know how to get close to you. That's just a interpretation, because you're so intense around whatever you're doing, and I appreciate that any sports person, to get to any level, it takes some drive and commitment and sacrifices along the way, and I sacrificed a lot, and same everybody. And I think what I spoke about at the dinner when I got inducted was, now that I'm back involved in the sport, there's a lot of people behind the scenes that make us look good. Mm. And I think that, not that I would change it, but I'm now really mindful that I say hello to, you know, Mary that's down at the courts, or I'm really mindful that and not that I didn't do that, but it's kind of one of those things. You just don't think about all the people in the background that love what they do, and they volunteer, as particularly at netball. There's not a lot of pay, or there are more now, but there wasn't a lot of paid jobs at the time. So there's a lot of volunteers, and you go out to Adcock Park, or you go out to any of the netball courts or sporting grounds, whatever sport it is, and there's always the people at the canteen or the barbecue.
Sure.
Or the, I mean, Paul and I do our fair share of swimming barbecues now, and timekeeping at swimming pools and all of the stuff, because we know for our kids to love what they do, it's important that we put in and we volunteer our time. And my mum and dad, there's no way in this world that I would have played for Australia if my mum and dad had not driven my sister and I to Sydney four or five times a week. And this is on top of their jobs. So that was their sacrifice to us. And it's the one thing that with dad, he's a really talented AFL player, and mum was quite a good athlete as well, and they didn't have that family support, and it was different in those days too. So you just, and it was an opportunity for them to really help us be at the best that we could be. And I'm really conscious of making sure that if there's something, we volunteer at the Surf Life Saving Club, we're volunteering at the netball courts, I'm coaching a local club, like it's all these things that, so I think it's easy for people to be critical of others if they've, but you really need to be mindful if you're prepared, if your kids are playing, you've got to help out.
You mentioned your sister being driven by your dad. Was there a friendly rivalry between you and Megsy?
I shall say that I was all, I never let her win anything.
I was going to say,
sibling rivalry.
That's right.
Megsy's awesome. She's I wish I had a little bit of Megsy's relaxed attitude. She's just just a beautiful sister and a great person. And she was talented as well. And I suppose she just didn't work hard enough.
She's listening into this going, this way I talk to you, you know.
She's in New Zealand. Yeah, that's right.
That's
anymore,
okay.
Anyway.
It goes national, international.
Ali, we talk about the commitment, the sacrifices and the family support that you obviously had, mum and dad, and then Paul later on. Are you still finding mum and dad are the same with your girls coming through?
Well, I work pretty much full time. My husband's a deputy at the local high school. I've got and our girls swim. They do swimming every morning, and there is no way with me driving to Sydney and Paul working that so that we rely on Jan and Kieran Williams for pickups and social occasions, drop offs, and it's like works like clockwork. So they're helping out now, and they wouldn't have any. It's a chance for them to spend with the kids as well, but we have they're always at the netball courts. They're always I can always call on them and say, hey, do you think you can, because we're just busy, and I say we're busy, but we're busy doing things that we want the kids to be involved with, and we love that. I don't have a weekend, pretty much like every parent. If they have a kid in sport, they're running around with doing this and that, but at the end of the day, that's a short term thing that we get to enjoy our kids being active and outside and loving what they're doing, hanging with their friends, having the lolly bag or whatever it is, and really it's better than the alternative. So I think, mum and dad are... thanks, Mum.
I've heard they're thinking of moving to Darwin.
Don't say it often enough, but I mean it.
That's right. Aside from getting your thumb in an opponent's jaw, what's the most embarrassing moment for Alison Broadbent?
I knocked myself out at training once.
Did you?
I ran into a pole.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So I literally ran into a pole. I went over the top of Jane Osh. Another one. I went over the top of Jane Oshwager's. I don't know if you know Jane Oshwager, but she's like a string bean. Very tall. She was playing in the show. We had an Australian training camp, and I literally fell on top of her. I don't know how. And I landed on my shoulder and broke my other wrist and damaged my shoulder. So, that's Jane's fault, not mine.
Of course.
So it probably wasn't the best day for me, but right. The pole incident was quite funny too, I think. That was from memory.
Ali, by the sounds of things, plenty of injuries along the way in the journey as well. Mm. Have you been dealing with them? A lot of people get impatient with the injuries. How did you get better?
Do you know what? I'm probably still paying the price in my mind for some of the injuries that I had. I've had two. So I mentioned before, I've actually had three reconstructions now, one skiing. But I had one when I was 17 and one when I was 19, ACL reconstructions. I think looking back again, I had the support of my teammates and Julie. And Jan Troy, who was a super manager. Old Bag Troy, we used to call her, but let's not say that. Yeah, maybe we could scratch that out. But anyway. I was very measured with what I had to do, how I had to do it. And I've had some great physios along the way, Nigel and Michael at Wombe and at physio. And I've basically been... and any athlete will tell you, you've put your body on the line. I remember the last year I played was 2006. I had 6 months off work, which was unheard of. I knew it was going to be my last. We had Commonwealth Games in Melbourne. We'd had a string of injuries in the team, not me, but to get through those Comm Games and then the season, I remember just having intensive physio, I've had a couple of injections of cortisone to try and my swelling in my knees were bad. I knew my time was coming to an end, my body just couldn't take anymore.
Yeah.
And I suppose I wouldn't change that at all in a million years, but there's probably a lot more now that helps athletes at a younger age, like Emma, my daughter, and Kate. They've both got not knee problems, I'm not going to say, but growth problems. So that we're very mindful that we're monitoring that really early. She's super tall. They're both super tall. So trying to build strength in that, that's something that is now, it wasn't when I was playing, just wasn't the done thing. So I think there's more research and more guidance around that and more structure. So while I wouldn't change anything, I probably would have listened a little bit more to the physio's advice. There's times when I played, particularly with my shoulder and my broken wrist, where I probably shouldn't have played. But you ask any footballer, You're not going to tell me not to play because I don't care. Just put something in it and I will be going. Mm. I'm lucky. I'm pretty fortunate that I'm still active and doing things. Probably not as active as what I would like to be, but I'm doing exercise and that. But I do have to... when I did my knee for my 40th birthday skiing at Thredbo, I was very fortunate to be the first knee of the season down there. That was lovely. And
you've always been a trendsetter, you know.
Yeah, like, I've always liked to set the scene.
Set the scene.
I was more worried. It was first day, fourth run, where I went down the ski fields and decided I can do this. I'm awesome. I'm amazing. And then I did my knee, and the dudes that come with the ski mobiles. I'm halfway up the hill, and I'm going. Swearing, and Paul's there, and I'm sitting down in the snow. My sister's there, and they were behind me, and I literally, my knee just popped out, and I just sat down. I said, my knee's gone.
Yeah.
And they said, you can't be serious. And then the guy's come, and he goes, oh, maybe you're pregnant. Because my wife was pregnant, and you've got this relaxing, you know, quarter thing that goes through your body, pretend you're like, and I'm like, I am. Few choice words, I am not pregnant. And I was, and he goes, oh, you never know. I'm like, well, I hope I'm not pregnant right now.
And it's stopped down in the knee.
And I'm going down in the, what is it called? The sled.
Yeah.
And and all I was worried about, I didn't want the girls, because I don't want them to have a fear of things, that I just want them to have a go.
Yeah.
So I was really mindful. I said, please don't let the kids see me. They were younger at the stage. Mm. And I said, and anyway, they got me to the hospital and literally took my pants off, and the doctor did. He goes, you done your knee? I said, yeah, I told you.
That's a pregnant knee.
I told you. I said I had. It's my third. And then I had a lady in there that proceeded to tell me, oh, this lady's had three knee wizards. Oh, my goodness. And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, please stop. The only thing I did differently this time around is I drank a lot of red wine.
Oh, as you would.
Because I don't need to worry
anesthetic.
About swelling. Yeah,
anesthetic,
yeah, that's right. It worked a treat.
All right, you mentioned your last game. Tell us what you remember about that and how you felt. You go, this is it? Big climax.
I really,
how'd you feel?
I felt really, it was an amazing year, absolute amazing year to finish. And I was umming and ahhing about stopping, because I loved it and I absolutely loved playing, and any athlete, this would be the same message, as they struggle to say goodbye because it's something that they love to do, and you know, that's been their life and their drive. So I was umming and ahhing, and you ask any sergeant, she goes, Ali, you were a mess. I said, yeah, I was, because I just couldn't make up my mind. Mentally I wasn't ready, but my body was telling me that it was time. But that year we just had the best perfect season. And to play and win and be with a group of young athletes that were just amazing individuals that I'm still lucky enough to call my friends, is just, you know, I suppose I got to the end of the game and that was it. And I haven't really, I played local at Gosford, that doesn't count. it just probably, just to be at that, be surrounded by people, play a perfect season and have a pretty good game. I don't even remember how I played that last game. It's a bit of a blur. I actually remember more about my 2004 game than I do about my last year. But it was just, I remember singing on the way, I can't sing, by the way. Do not ask me to sing. But I remember singing.
We can.
We were staying at a hotel and we were walking down, like, to the hotel. We were at Homebush and we're obviously walking down the courts for our game, and we started singing a song, and I think, I don't know, it was Jennifer Lopez something or other, but
J-Lo.
Okay. Yeah, J-Lo. It was J-Lo. It was very puppy up sign and stuff. But I remember, and just going out and having fun with the girls afterwards, It just seems like a bit of a blur, and it was good.
Yeah,
Ali, you should look back on that career with pride. That's for sure. The young girl from Erina that went to the top of the tree, achieved the most that anyone could in their sport. But you look now, Central Coast Heart. You know, do you look now that the pathway is much better for a Central Coast yes. girl starting out in netball?
Yeah, it is. It is. There's certain changes that have come in. Like when I was playing, there was no the Hunter Academy just started, and now you've got the Central Coast Academy and you've got the Central Coast Heart, and there's pathways there that are enabling athletes to not have to travel to Sydney all the time, or not have to we still have to go there because that's where the competition is, I guess, but it's not as far as it used to be either in terms of travel, but it's certainly more achievable, and athletes are getting opportunities that to do things. And I look at each, and that's what I say to our girls. Paul and I are very conscious of saying that the girls' sport is an opportunity for you to do something you love, but it might lead you to doing other things like tours or talks or something that you know, and you learn different things along the way. So whatever opportunity comes your way, take it and use that as a part of your life and your learning experience. And I think for the athletes on the Central Coast now, there's lots of learning experiences and people here that are able to help them and guide them and present them opportunities that they may go and do whatever they want to do. And it might lead that they might not continue to be the sports person, but they might lead into something other than sport, or but it helps them in terms of their motivation to do more.
All right, great career. You took up a bit of commentating.
I did. That was Lizzie. Tell us. She goes, you like talking, you could do this. I'm like, okay, fair enough.
How did you find it? How did you find commentating?
I actually really enjoyed it. Yeah. And the reason I said yes to it, I just had Emma and I was retired. The main reason was it was a chance for me because Lizzie was still playing, Selena, there was girls still playing that I still knew, so it was a chance for me to go and say hello.
Yeah.
And say good day. So it was really lovely, great experience. All day to get ready for an hour's game just blows me away, but probably changed a little bit. And it's obviously gone into the social stuff now. And but when Emma went to school, I just found my weekends precious. So, and it's probably when work started, I could have probably gone and done a bit more with that. But it was right at the time, and the girls need me, so.
You would have loved to have bagged the Phoenix and the Thunderbirds, wouldn't you?
I would have done that deliberately, no.
But Ali, being a player, when you coach, you look at the game in a different way. When you were commentating, did you look at the game in a different way?
I was very defensive in terms of defensive in my comments. Like, I'm a defender, so I would always look at games differently to how Sherelle and I actually commentated really well together. But that's because she's looking at the game from an attacking sense. So every comment that we were on the sideline together with, she'd look at the comment and I'd go, well, I reckon it's this. And so it was a really good understanding. And for people watching, it was really interesting because I was looking at it through my lens of a defender and she was looking at it through an attacker's lens. So in that sense, it does teach you a lot. But it's, again, it's another opportunity that I got to do something really cool. Mm. Not many people get to do it. And I did it for 5 years and it was awesome.
All right. Before we wrap up, you look back on your career and commentating, coaching. Any advice you'd give someone coming through, looking to do what you've done? What would you say to them? Well, it's one on one with someone.
My one on one is that just make sure you enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah.
Love and enjoyment and fun is far more important than. I think at the moment I look around and even at netball, there's kids with weights on their shoulders in terms of the pressure and I feel sad for that. And I really hope that, I don't think it's going to change, but there's a lot of pressures that people, families are putting on kids to do more, be more. At the end of the day, you got to love what you do and be really proud of the effort. So if that's what you do on court and you walk around with a smile on your face, well, that's all you can ask for. So,
Ali, netball, like all sports, evolves. What do you like about the game now and what do you not like so much about the game now?
I like the game. The speed of the game's awesome. I've taken the girls to a few games myself and sat in the crowd, and It's it was a little bit like this as well. Like the entertainment on and off is great, and the kids have an awesome time. But I'm pretty sure they're not watching the netball. and they've just started to, which is kind of nice. Actually, my daughter watches AFL more, which is just yeah. But I think in terms of the game, in the speed and the level, I think the professionalism of it is fantastic. I think the way that the girls conduct themselves on and off the court is amazing. They do a really great job. I'm not so much. I'm a bit old school. I suppose social media can kill it a little bit for me, but that's I sound old when I say it, and I know I do, but I think there's also got to be some balance within that, that we're a bit more respectful of people and their lives, and I don't want to see what everyone's Kim Green's eating for lunch, and I love her, but you know, that's probably the side of it. I think, you know, maybe we've gone a little bit too far, but that's everybody. And I suppose that's a balance, but at the same time, that's the life and the way that people live and create their wealth or their goals and do what they love. So it's good.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have you in the studio doing the podcast. Congratulations on a great career and life too. It's really been a great life, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It's been awesome.
Have you enjoyed it?
Finished it.
Are you still going?
Jeez. Is that what he says to everyone? Or is it just
No, you're warming up, I know.
Now does start the next part of your life. What are you looking forward to in the future, Ali? You've been a great sports person yourself. You've got two great young daughters, a wonderful husband in Paul, and very supportive family. What are you looking forward to in the future?
More camping trips. Mm-hmm. We went camping for 4 months with the girls around Australia, or not right around, but did a fair chunk of Australia, and I really enjoy that, and I love watching the kids do their thing and growing and being and doing. Em goes to high school next year. I'm working for ANZ. I'm still there after 25 years, which is amazing. They've been fantastic to me. I should have mentioned them before. And then Paul and I we love to travel a little bit more in the camper trailer, and it sounds boring, but you know what, it's a really great life, and I know why the grey nomads do it, and just loving the I suppose watching the kids do grow and decide what they want to do and be. It's awesome to watch.
Absolutely.
Ali Broadbent, the Central Coast is proud of you.
Oh, thank you.